A growing section of the internet is becoming more and more interested in the idea of cringe, that feeling of discomfort you feel when you see someone experiencing embarrassment or awkwardness. But everyone experiences awkwardness at some point in our lives, and there are no simple rules on how not to be cringy. Our next guest says we need to embrace our awkwardness. She thinks it can be good for us, and she took it for a test drive. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have an awkward story you're willing to share? I understand if no one wants to call in and share those awkward moments, it's hard. But if you're willing, love to hear from you. Do you feel like you're an awkward person in general or were at some point in your life, like my, you know, junior high season? Do you embrace your awkwardness? Do you have a question about it? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Melissa Dahl is author of the book Cringeworthy, A Theory of Awkwardness. She's the executive health director at Bustle Digital Group and from Wisconsin. Melissa, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I am from Wisconsin, yes.
Your book came out a few years ago, and we didn't notice it at the time. I'm sorry, a producer saw it referenced in a recent article. We love the topic. I hope it's not awkward that we didn't catch it the first time around.
It's incredibly awkward.
No, no.
Which is perfect.
Now, you have an origin story to your awkwardness. Can you tell us a little bit about why this is such a central topic in your life?
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could say I kind of like set out to, I got interested in a topic because I've always sort of felt a little bit out of place. I'm originally from Wisconsin, but then we moved around a lot and, you know, just always kind of like, you know, inserting myself into a new school and trying to figure out like the little social norms and stuff. And that feeling always kind of stayed with me. I don't think that's, you know, unique to me. I think everybody probably at some point or another feels a little out of place. But I set out initially, my whole pitch for the book was to, you know, create like a guide, an anti-awkwardness guide, you know, like do these exact like 10 steps and you will never feel this way again. And I just kind of came away like, not really wanting to get rid of the feeling, weirdly. So
let's talk about what it means to be awkward. And you give a definition kind of where our self-image collides with what the rest of the world is seeing at this moment.
Yeah, that's exactly what I think it is. I think it's like you are intending to present yourself to the world in a particular way, and it is just not happening. It is just not how people are actually seeing you. And when you are, you know, you might be blissfully unaware of that fact, but like when you become aware of that gap between the you you're trying to present and the you the world is actually seeing, that's where I think the kind of the that cringy feeling comes in. And it happens for other people too. I think that's what, you know, why we cringe at people doing like embarrassing things on the internet. We can see what they're aiming for and we can see how far away they really are. So, yeah.
Yeah, how did the internet change this? Because I could think of, you know, back in high school, I was in this band of kids. We played, you know, pop songs. And this is not the, like, hyper-talented kids from Fame. Okay, we had our talents, but I'm super glad there's no video still in existence of this. Wow. And to think that now on the internet, the me of today could, like, be embarrassed in front of, like, millions or billions of people. That really ups the ante for awkwardness, right?
I know. I mean, like, I feel like I just escaped it. Like, the internet kind of became what it is now. Like, I got a Facebook in college, but I was just on TikTok the other day, and I saw a girl who said something like, in middle school, my crush said, you know, he really liked French girls. So I posted this on my Instagram. This is, like, really embarrassing photo of her in a beret, you know, trying to look all cute. And yeah, the generation just younger than me, like, is kind of haunted by their past selves online. So they better find a way to make peace with that, I think.
We've got a brave caller at 800-642-1234 who has a story. Colin is in Viroqua. Colin, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What's your story for us?
Well, yesterday at my work at lunchtime, I was eating a bowl of ramen noodle soup. And I kind of inhaled and coughed at the same time, and the darn noodle came out my nose right at the lunchroom table.
Oh, no.
And it was just nothing you could do about it.
And there were other people around, I'm guessing?
Yes, it was awful. I wish I could crawl under a rock.
Wow. Well, it sounds like you've recovered, though. Did you just say, yeah, I'm okay? How did you bounce back from that?
Well, I just grabbed a napkin and, you know, blew my nose and said, oh, my God. Senioritis, what can I help?
I mean, it could happen to anybody. Colin, thank you so much for sharing that. Yeah, in that moment, Melissa, you know, if this happened in a room by ourselves, gross, but no big deal. But I think we've all, you know, this is Wisconsin, you fall on the ice or something. Yeah. I'm okay. You're not sure if you're okay, but you just don't want to be the center of attention in that moment. Did you learn lessons in researching your book about how to, as gracefully as possible, come out of that moment?
Yeah, I mean, I think all you have to do, I know this just sounds like really, you know, I spent like a year researching this to come to like what kind of ends up being a little bit obvious information or advice, but you just, there's nothing to do except for like find the humor in it. Like I started to see these moments as just like little cracks in the facade, you know, like we're all like trying to just be these like competent together people. And then something like that happens and just reveals like, no, we are all dorks, you know? what really did help me is just like the interconnectedness of this feeling. Like it wouldn't be embarrassing, like you said, if you were in a room by yourself. So these moments like kind of connect us to other people. There's something kind of nice about that after you've maybe, you know, blown your nose and recovered.
Thanks again for sharing that story, Colin, at 800-642-1234. Talking to Melissa Dahl, author of the book Cringeworthy, A Theory of Awkwardness from a couple years back. You can join in if you have an awkward moment you're willing to share how you got through it at 800-642-1234. Did you have an awkward moment end up on the internet? 800-642-1234 is the number. Melissa, as part of your research for your book, you actually sought out situations that were kind of built in to be awkward, sometimes up on stage in front of other people. Can you share some of the things you did to personally cultivate your awkwardness?
Yeah, I mean, I opened the book kind of doing like the most terrifying thing I could think of. There's this stage show called Mortified. They're all across the country, and it's like adults who read from their teenage journals, their teenage diaries, and they're very helpful. The producers help you make a little like story out of it, and it is so funny as an audience member, and it is so terrifying as a performer. But yeah, I read from my middle school journal about how I was just desperately in love with the boy band Hanson. So,
and that's another part of your story, moving from place to place, that I've read. Loving Hanson in one school was super cool, and you knew you were cool when you're putting that Hanson poster up in your locker in the next school. But what happened?
Oh, the next school, it was just the dorkiest thing you could do. Like, you know, oh my God, like that's just, no one likes that. Like, oh, like, you know, who's this girl? So yeah, just like those little social norms that you just can't pick up until you kind of break one.
Let's go back to our callers at 800-642-1234. Valerie is with us in Burlington. Valerie, hi.
Hi, how are you this afternoon?
Good. What's your story, Valerie?
We were having a sleepover at a girlfriend's house when I was a teenager. We're staying out in her camper, and my mom, we decided it was a good idea to flash cars that were driving by.
Uh-oh.
So the next morning, my mom asked what we did at the sleepover, and of course I said, you know, we had a bonfire, we ate hot dogs, we had s'mores. She goes, no, really? What did you do? And I'm like, what do you mean? Well, she had a phone call that night telling her of my, proclivities, I guess. Yeah. So, and she went to her deathbed, holding on to that secret. So I see my old neighbors and things like that, and I cringe because I'm wondering which one of them told on me.
Oh, wow, Valerie. Thank you for being willing to share that with us. Wow. And that's, I don't know, maybe moving around isn't so bad, Melissa, because you can get away from the people who know the secrets about you.
Yep, that's my advice. You got to move. You got to go.
Valerie, thank you for sharing that with us. We are talking about life's awkward moments with Melissa Dahl, author of the book Cringeworthy, A Theory of Awkwardness. You can join in if you're willing at 800-642-1234. If you have a cringy story you can share, do you seek these kind of awkward videos out on the internet? Are you a fan of the shows like The Office, especially the old British Office, or the Curb Your Enthusiasm, or just, you know, that kind of comedy show that really lives and breathes those awkward moments? I had to stop watching them, to be honest. I couldn't take it anymore. 800-642-1234 is the number. That's 800-642-1234. You can email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation about awkwardness with author Melissa Dahl. She wrote the book Cringeworthy, A Theory of Awkwardness. You could join in at 800-642-1234 if you have a story to share about an awkward moment in your life. If you find awkward, cringy videos on the internet or those kind of TV shows, awkward or fun to watch, a little bit of both, call 800-642-1234. Back to your surprisingly many calls. Marcus is with us in Milwaukee. Marcus, hi.
Hey, so I'm 42 now. I was 40 at the time. I thought during COVID I'd pull out my Trek mountain bike and, you know, go start biking around since I had so much time on my hands. And I was riding down Oklahoma rather at a fast pace, and I tried to avoid a puddle in the crosswalk and just totally bit it into a big puddle. And it was like 5 o'clock in the afternoon. There's plenty of cars around. So I totally wiped out. The only thing I could do was to pop up, brush myself off, put up my arm and yell, "I'm okay," and then hop on and pedal like hell.
Marcus, well, I'm glad, first of all, you were physically unharmed, it sounds like. Yeah, but obviously 2 years later, the moment sticks with you.
Yeah, it was more my pride was hurt.
My pride was hurt. Marcus, that sums it up greatly. My pride was hurt, Melissa. That's what a lot of these awkward moments are about, isn't it?
It really is. It's so interesting, too, that, like, why is getting hurt? Why would that be embarrassing? Like, why do we have that reaction? Like, if you fall, that is the first thing you say. Like, I'm okay, even if you're, like, obviously bleeding.
Theismaning, yeah. Thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. Melissa, I'm kind of surprised. We have full phone lines here. We'll go back to our callers in a minute. I didn't know if anybody would call. Did you get that when you came out with a book and or said, yeah, I'm writing a book about awkwardness? Did people want to volunteer their awkward moments to you?
Yes, 1,000%. Like the second someone like told me, or the second I told someone what the book was about, they're like, oh my gosh, you have to like, you know, are you writing my life story? You have to include this in the book. You know, this happened. It just kind of comes back to me that like, I guess I approached this little weird little emotion that drove me crazy as this like really isolating feeling. But in the end, I just really came to think of it as this like thing that connects us. We're all just big dorks who just kind of mess up and, you know, do embarrassing things. And there's just something really lovely about it. So, yeah.
That's cool. Thanks for sharing that with us, Marcus, at 800-642-1234. Back to your calls. Rick is with us in Eau Claire. Rick, hi.
Yes, I have a story about when I worked in a factory. One of my coworkers accidentally cut one of his fingers off.
Ooh.
And it was horrible, but they took him to the hospital and they fixed him up and they brought him back. And the supervisor said to him, "How did you do that?" And he said, "Well, like this." And he cut the next finger off.
Oh, my God. Okay.
And the takeaway that I got from that was we had a series of directions that we were supposed to follow running this saw, and he didn't follow the directions. But it was just kind of a horrible experience. But it taught me, follow directions.
Rick, I guess so. Thanks for sharing that. I think this one goes a little beyond awkward, Melissa. I hope the guy's okay. I don't know. But I guess
I am cringing, though.
I am cringing, too. So that fits. I don't know. Do you have life lessons in awkwardness, Melissa, where we can learn from our mistakes or learn from those of others, I guess, if we want a moral to Rick's story?
Well, yeah, I mean, actually, you know, here's a moral. I am finding myself like actually, you know, cringing. And here's a fun fact. Like, I guess there's some neuroscientists in Germany who are actually studying what happens in the brain when we kind of experience cringy moments. And it is right where the brain processes pain. So, so yeah.
Thanks. Related. Thanks for sharing that story. And I think it was in your book I saw there's kind of maybe even universal cringe responses of our body posture and things like that.
Yeah. I mean, that is the takeaway I got from this this very, I don't even know how I came across this, but this anthropological report from like the 50s, where this guy kind of visited an island where no, you know, Westerners had been, and they'd never like seen what they looked like in a mirror or on a camera or anything, and when they were shown. When he took Polaroids of them, and, you know, he like, you know, gave them mirrors. And when they saw their reflections, when they saw what they looked like, they kind of just like, they covered their face with their hand or kind of like cowered, you know, which is like exactly what I do when I'm experiencing an awkward moment. So it's just so interesting that like, it's a little bit of a fear response, I think. Yeah, it's even for someone who's never seen that on another person before.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Talking to Melissa Dahl. She's the author of the book Cringeworthy, A Theory of Awkwardness. Back to your awkward stories at 800-642-1234 with Tom and Rhinelander. Tom, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What's your story, Tom?
Well, until last year when I retired, I worked at the local county courthouse in Oneida County. And one nice spring day, I walked out wearing dress clothes and dress shoes and looked up at the blue sky and walked right through freshly poured wet cement.
Oh, no.
The guys were troweling it right next to me. I don't know how I didn't see them. I was so embarrassed. I felt so bad. And they were so nice about it. They had a hose and they hosed my shoes off and I went home for lunch. And then when I came back, I went into the buildings and grounds department and had them bring it up on the security video. And I videoed that video with my camera and put it out on Facebook so all my friends could have a laugh. And so I think the message for me was you have to be able to laugh at yourself.
Tom, thank you so much for sharing that. And Melissa, that's kind of one of my takeaways from you. Like, we need to be willing to not take ourselves too seriously in these moments.
Yeah, you just have to kind of lighten up and I think as quickly as possible, turn it into a story. And it sounds like you did that very quickly by sharing it on your Facebook. That's very brave of you.
Tom, thanks for sharing that with us. Nancy is with us in Rusk County. Nancy, hi.
Hi. I have a bad story. I was in a hotel at a conference in Atlanta, Georgia, ordered room service in my bedroom, got dressed in a very nice nightgown and went to put my tray outside the door, and the door slammed shut. And
uh-oh,
there I was in the hallway in this nightgown.
Oh, no. So what do you do in that situation, Nancy?
I didn't know what I was going to do. I stood there for a minute. I knew I couldn't go downstairs in that nightgown and get a key. And so down the hall, I heard the elevator open, and it was a guy coming down the hallway. And I said, "Sir, can you help?"
Oh, Nancy's line cut out there. I think. Oh, there you go.
Oh, did you hear that?
So you got a good Samaritan help you out. Is what it sounded like.
Well, he gave me his sport coat, and he went downstairs and brought up a guy from the front desk and who opened my bedroom door, and I could get back into my bedroom.
Fantastic, Nancy. I'm glad you had a happy ending there. Melissa, can you talk about maybe what you learned about giving grace and helping out that other person in the awkward situation? When it's not us, it's them.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's kind of two ways to respond to someone else's, you know, cringy moment. You can kind of respond with a little bit of scorn, and that kind of like separates yourself from that other person. Like, oh, that would never happen to me. You know, that would never be in that situation. Or you can respond with compassion and just realize like, yeah, you absolutely could be, and probably will be, soon in a similar situation. So I've tried to choose as often as possible to just respond with kind of a compassionate cringing, and realizing that like, you know, this, person, actually something really similar did happen to me. Talking about this, when I first moved into this apartment, I have a big patio, and I was out on the patio in my like robe and like slippers, and I locked myself out there and had to call my super to let me back in.
Well, you had your phone anyway, so that's okay.
Yeah, I did, thank god. Yeah. So yeah.
thanks again for sharing that story, Nancy. Melissa, we've just got a minute or two left here. You ultimately, if I'm reading you right, came to think of awkwardness as not totally a negative thing. How can we view it as a positive in our lives?
I mean, I think that all of these people who are so eager to share their stories with, like, Wisconsin Public Radio are an example of just doing that naturally. Like, it's like we go through this stuff and we survive it, and then we use it to just, like, relate to people and connect to people. And it's even in the moment, like, the embarrassment, it means it's embarrassing because we're afraid that it's like kind of like severing a connection to people, that we're just like, oh, we're just going to be, you know, just a social reject, you know, but that's really not what happens. It you can kind of use those moments to relate to people and to connect to people. So once you have, you know, recovered. So,
and before I let you go, Melissa, I mentioned earlier cringe as entertainment, you know, videos of real people or TV shows that use that awkwardness as their main sense of humor. Having gone through writing this book, do you seek that out? Do you watch it? Do you find it entertaining, or do you steer clear of that cringe entertainment?
Oh gosh. I have kind of, since the book, given myself a little bit of a break from it. It really feels like a social horror movies, you know, like it's just, I also had to stop watching Curb Your Enthusiasm. So yeah.
Melissa, thanks so much for joining us today. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah. It's been fun.
That's Melissa Dahl, author of the book Cringeworthy, A Theory of Awkwardness, executive health director at Bustle Digital Group, with us today to talk about what makes us cringe, what causes awkwardness, and how we can embrace it. You can keep sharing your stories. A lot of you have stories to share. You can email, if you'd like, ideas@WPR.org. That's ideas@WPR.org. Or if you could tell it briefly, tweet us @Central Time WPR.